or shall, is that if you're going to do that and use that, you must use MXD standards. If you make it may, may is optional. And that was my intent, and that's I'll defer to Jack's opinion in terms of the use of shall and may, but I explained to you sort of the intent that you're applying the standards. You're gonna if you want someone to be allowed to use MXD, which allows townhouses or hotel or something like that in those other zones, you have, in my opinion, you should say shall apply, yes. Shall here.
The use of the word may in law is bad because it denotes discretion.
Mm-hmm. Which opens up a lot.
Which opens you up to all kinds of criticism. If you want that criteria to be applied, then you should use the word shall.
That's my opinion. If you want to do something different.
My feeling, I think I was the one that's pushing for men. My opinion is this is an R103 district. And the requirements you can build within the R103 the district regulations if you want to. And if
right.
you assemble all of those lots, you can still build within the R103.
So, oh, absolutely.
So that the MXD standards are a may, not a shall. You don't have to develop under those standards. You
no.
can develop residential development.
Oh, yeah. No one says that you have to. No one says that you have to use MXD or use it, develop property as MXD. It's,
it says it's that the additional requirements of the mixed-use development MXD district shall be utilized for any development.
This whole paragraph is under D is additional permitted uses in the R1.03 zone district and in a specific area. So it's an optional use. MXD uses are optional. They're
so that's
in addition
May
to.
Through. That's what my point is. May is an optional.
My point is if you're going to use MXD in the R.01, you have to use the MXD requirements. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to use MXD, then you have to apply the same standards as you would as if you're in MXD. You can still develop through an R.103 or WC. It's not, these are additional permitted, so these are optional uses, and if you go down that path, then you have to use these rules, is maybe a better way of saying it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, that Jack's rule on it. It seemed to me that it took away some of the ability of an R103 developer. You know, that if you got a piece of land there or several pieces of land there, he couldn't build under those standards.
Yeah, that was not my intent. I think you're looking at it just within that context.
Jack is looking at that. I get a little concerned that what this paragraph does is make the 2 acre requirement makes utilization of those block of buildings that are on Locust Street only available for development to the adjacent property owner because he has the 2 acre minimum already. So that any lots that he picks up, he can add to his thing. No one else can come in and assemble those things and have another MXD development. It seems to me that it may be construed as being something that is favorable to the landowner that is adjacent to these properties. Do you see that? Or?
Well, I'm not really sure if I understand that, but I mean, the intent was to let the MXD zone expand
in that area.
Expand.
Right.
And if you can develop according to the WC or the residential zone, but you don't have to, or if you wanted to expand and use MXD, you could.
But only one person can do that.
I don't know.
Because there's no 2 acres of land that anybody else can assemble to do another MXD development. It basically is saying that Mr. Bowlerman can expand his development onto those properties because he already has the land available to him to do that.
I have a question about the marina. And historically in town, you had a riparian branch. It was fitted into the square footage allotment. In other words, nothing was going to face you on the other side. It was an open and recreational use in that. But decisions that came down to the zoning officer, the zoning officer saying, no, that isn't that. I just think you wanted to address whether they want to allow that or not, whether you want to credit partially or all for that underground, because you do have a tax map that says you have this land. And basically, in the past, we always included the riparian grant in the lot coverage.
Not riparian, never.
Riparians are
leases.
No, there's riparians and there's leases. A lease does not have a specific tax bill. A riparian in the state of New Jersey has a tax bill and a dimension. Or a lease is just, Mr. Serpico?
Huh? No? I'm trying to understand his clause. Go ahead. I wasn't listening to you. I'm trying to get through with Peter.
All right, let's
go back to your point. Let's.
Marty, I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah, okay.
I think, first of all, the fifth line down, starting with R-1.03 at the end, after the word neighborhood, it shouldn't be a period, it should be a comma. There's no new sentence. Is that correct? I'm just trying to read this. The way I'm reading this, if you meet the minimum tract area within this area, within this zone, for this conditional use, then the bulk requirements of the MXD district have to be utilized.
Right. That's
okay.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah, I mean,
is
you're,
what
you're,
you want.
Yeah, to allow.
Well, I just
want to
make sure that if someone has an R103 lot, that they can continue to develop under R103 standards, even if he's able to assemble.
Now, I read this. It says if the minimum tract area is met.
He has to
for these conditional uses, then the bulk requirements for the MXD zone.
He must
develop
it that way.
Yeah.
That's why we put May. Am I right, Peter? I mean, that's why we put May in there.
That's what we
recommended that we put it in.
Shouldn't it go on to say if the minimum tract area is met, the bulk requirements for the mixed use district shall be utilized for any development unless. Then put in the specific scenario you're referencing.
Well, if you got three people confused here, I think we should.
Yeah, I think you got to go on with unless, because then put in the exception. Instead, this way, because just going may is nebulous. May can be just as confusing. Is confusing. Shall is too restrictive, but may can be confusing. So
well, the reason I put in May is I thought that if somebody had a piece of land in the R-103 district,
right,
and he assembled enough adjacent land that he had 2 acres and he wanted to do something that was compliant with the R-103, this says he shall develop it under the MXD standards.
Under the MXD bulk requirements. Yes, that's it. That's what I read.
Which was not our intent. That wasn't our intent.
And I think it may be taking some development rights away from R-103 district.
So then you could.
It's not what it's meant to be.
Continue on with your unless scenario.
Yeah, but what is it unless? What are we trying to qualify it for? Unless it's.
What's the retainer?
Unless the applicant seeks to develop the property consistent with
the R.
1.03 or
that's all. So they have the option. They don't have to get pinned into one thing right away. Yeah.
Jack, this I sort of rewrote.
Okay. I just don't want to lose this thought. Unless the applicant requests to develop the property or tract consistent with what, Peter? What was that?
The R-103 standards. 1.03 zone standards.
Now, does that make sense, Martin? As a planner?
Yeah, it does. I just wanted to, yeah.
Okay.
Jack, I wonder if you could weigh in on my second question. Was with the establishment of having a requirement of getting 2 acres in order to avail yourself of the MXD, are we creating a
depending on how much property they own.
Well, they own his property that already meets the 2 acre zone requirement for development under MXD standards. So if we say that there's an MX, that the house is next door, if they meet the 2 acre requirement, they can have an MXD development as well.
As long as it's a permitted use in the zone.
Right. But I don't know what's the area that's there is 2 acres, and so that what we're doing is making that so that only the owner of the property next door can assemble 200 acres of land. And I'm worried that is going to look as...
I don't know.
Note that when we send it back to the council that's something we looked at, maybe they can be solved.
That one is, your guess is as good as mine. Anybody can come in and buy a property, assemble it, and develop. So whether
zoning or standard, he can only acquire that one in the R103 zone if the owner of a piece of property that already has 2 acres, he can buy one of those and continue his development.
It doesn't
matter. Right, someone else could come in and buy.
What's Doris
buy multiple properties and accumulate 2 acres.
I don't know whether you can.
What's Doris and Ed's property?
I'm saying someone else.
Is he 2 acres
there? I don't know whether there's 2 acres there to do, is what I'm saying.
Well, my question is not just one property owner. It's possibly two, correct? I don't know if people
The Doris, but it doesn't read that way. It reads that the minimum tract of 2 acres, any development in the R203 shall have a minimum tract of 2 acres. So it's the area within the yard 1.03, not if you own land in MXD and have 2 acres that you can expand it.
Are there 2 acres within the area that we're talking about? Is that actually possible?
Yeah, within those two R1.03 and WC, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Excluding streets.
Yeah, the R1.03 is very small, but I don't know how much is in there. But in WC, there's two.
Oh, WC is two for sure.
Yeah.
No, I think the 103
it would be very difficult, yeah.
Didn't you already change this? Wasn't it 6 acres at one point? You knocked it down to two?
I think it was six, yeah.
It was six originally, yeah.
I guess the comment would be, can someone assemble 2 acres of land in the 103?
It'd be difficult. It's a lot of houses.
But I didn't understand it that way, and maybe I'm just unable to read it properly, but I thought it was.
I had a question in regards to acres, since we come.
What?
I had a question in regards to a riparian grant. Is that considered open space? And a riparian grant has a dimension. It's a piece of land that you own. In this case, you've got a marina there. Is that considered a lot of coverage? When you determine lot coverage in this area, does the riparian grant get figured into that? Years ago, the town used to figure it into it simply because, nothing was ever going to be built on the other side.
I don't think so.
So one way or the other, I think you ought to address that.
I don't think so.
It's already been addressed by this board and I think the attorney of this board.
Well, that's what Mr. Colby is saying. He's saying that they have development rights as a result of the fact that they made a choice to take their land and make a marina out of it. They should have land development rights in addition to the marina.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the ordinance is specified one way or the other what it is, so it's not always coming down on the person making the call. Take away the discretion. Right. If it's not, put it in the ordinance. It's not going to be that way. If it is, it is. I was stopped today by Mr. Cosgrove. That's the reason I'm asking. It changed through the years. So if it's not going to be that way, it shouldn't be just blamed on the zoning officer. It should be in the ordinance to go by. There's nothing in the ordinance directly.
I think there actually is. There's the definition of land or lot area. And it says that portion of land.
They wanted to include land underwater so that they could. The land above the high water mark would be stuck to develop.
They want to put a yacht there, yacht school.
Doesn't make any sense.
But in the definition of lot area, it says that portion of land, and I think that's clear enough that they mean
If it says that portion of land, there's, you know, consider water, land underwater as land. You consider it water. I mean, it sure is land if you drain it, but it's not. It's illogical.
I'm just saying it would be good to have it. If it's in the ordinance, put it there so you can quote that when it comes down. You can skip to the.
Yeah, I thought that was already taken care of in the ordinance. I'm not finding it right this minute, but yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'll continue on.
Yeah, let's continue on.
Okay. Section 4 on page 2, still on page 2, and that's a similar situation where the taxi livery bus companies accept on Bay frontage on Bay Avenue, as I already discussed. And then on the next page, page 3.
Marty, item 3. This is not one of these ordinances where you struck things out and put them in and that sort of thing, or is
it? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I did not cover something. But
item 3, conditional use.
Yeah, I struck out those.
Handicraft studio.
I struck out those two things, wireless and then the residential.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Let me just get that information.
My point was that I think the conditional use of arts and handcraft studios are conditional uses for the development of those businesses within the residential district in someone's home. If you look at the conditions of that, the business has to be run by a primary resident or things like that. It's not necessary to make this a conditional use in the business zone. I think these are.
I think. I think that was already in there. I don't think we're adding new. That's my recollection. Let me just double check that. I think that's in there now. Under the B1.
Does anyone think that it needs to be conditional use in the business district to have handcraft studios workshops and hours?
I take that back.
I don't understand why that would any of that would be permitted.
Why are you referring to that? I'm not up with you.
Conditional uses in section 4, item 3.
Yeah, I mean, an art or handcraft studio and gallery could also be considered a retail sales place, which is a permitted use.
Well, it's confusing. Why don't we just move it back up and make it
permitted?
Yeah. I don't understand why it was conditional.
Maybe nobody else picked it up.
I thought it was kind of odd.
Okay, so.
Or make a recommendation, move conditional uses, arts and handicraft studios into, well, maybe it was conditional because of the things he took out. He did take out antennas and other things.
Okay. Okay. Let me just.
Marty, what do you mean by uses and structures in the permitted accessory uses?
Uses and, yeah, so you have an accessory
structure
being, you know, a garage or a shed or something as a structure.
In a business zone.
Yeah, well, I'm just spotting out the other uses, other accessory uses, but. I guess it could be anything that's, you know, customarily incidental to that permitted use. So you can't really generalize, I don't think, on that point.
I'm just trying to think of what would be an accessory structure as part of the business.
Me too.
They have the next section too. Then you go to the next section.
Well, basically, so you might have accessories. B1 and B2 are the same then.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're exactly the same. But I mean, you might have a storage building or something that would be a small storage building for commercial lot. Okay. All right, so.
So that number 3 in the next section would change as well, conditional use?
Yes, yes. Okay, so. I guess.
Are you taking that out?
Yeah, that would be the top of page 3, right? And then also the middle of page 3, so that under section 5. So So now we're down to six. Did I?
No. Did you go past the conditional uses that are now permitted uses? I was writing that.
Okay. Day. Let's. Yeah. Let's.
What's go the back. Next item you dealt with?
Under section four on page two, and then starting to go to the next page under A, art, handicraft studios, workshops, galleries. That would be moved to permitted.
Okay, I have that. Permitted okay. principal uses. That would be. That's.
So in the B
one. Four. Three.
Yes.
Conditional uses. Now you want those put in as permitted uses.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
I have that.
Okay. Okay. And then the same thing would apply on section five. The conditional use would be.
So section five. What do I do there?
But again, it would be art handicraft studios okay, would be moved okay. up to the.
That's section four.
Okay.
And everything else in five is good, right?
Yeah, five, yeah, the tax levy service, that was changed similar to the B1 zone.
Right.
Okay, so that's five. Section six, there were no changes. I don't think the planning board didn't have any changes in section six.
Is this, just out of curiosity, the boxing facility?
That's already there, though, isn't it?
It's just a question. I don't know whether it does.
Well, Peter, I think I thought that was sort of some cleanup work because under the ordinance under B1, it says health and fitness establishments, athletic clubs only on lots fronting on Route 36 in the highway oriented business zone. So it was misplaced, I think, in the current ordinance. So it puts it into that. It's the same wording that just moves it to the highway oriented zone.
Right, and there's a very, so, very small portion of the highway oriented side that's actually east of Linden. Which is the real estate office and the automobiles.
Okay.
And I guess the answer is yes. It's now.
I think it always was, yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's see, where are we? Can I just. Section 6 was no change. Section 7 goes back to the same discussion of shall and may under that, but in this case is the WC2 zone. So, I guess we probably need the same language that you added to the R1.03 zone to address that.
Okay, and that would be.
Less, yeah.
And I think the wording at the beginning of your, it says 21-96 WC2 waterfront commercial is amended to supplement to add the following new conditional use. And then it says additional permitted uses for the WC zone.
And no, you're suggesting that change permitted
that be,
to conditional.
I don't know. Shouldn't that be additional or?
Well, I mean, just to make it clear, because there are two types of permitted uses, principal and conditional. So, I mean, permitted conditional use, maybe. Additional permitted conditional uses for the WC zone, to make it clear.
Curious, the Darson Ed lot, which is the subject of this part of the ordinance, That can be ferry parking and be compliant with our MXD zone.
Ferry parking. Well, in conjunction with a planned mixed use, there's a ferry services. I'm just trying to find that particular use. I'm not saying ferry parking or ferry. There's ferry services under, in conjunction with a mixed use development.
Well, this is going to be part of the mixed use district.
Right.
So it can be.
Well, yeah, assuming it's ferry, if parking in conjunction with something else, though, not just on its own.
I think the answer is yes, though.
Yes.
If there was a terminal there.
Right. If they reactivated that, that could be the parking field.
Okay. All right. You're good on that?
On which?
I guess it's section 7.
That was the end of 7.
Okay.
Yeah, I have that.
You got that,
that's
okay.
I didn't want to. Same language as the prior.
Right. Yeah, okay. I didn't want to jump too fast. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Section 8, there was, that's on the MXD zone. That has to do with the language having to do with the mobile home park, the existing mobile home park, and the board asked that craft language that will make this section consistent with other applicable sections that limit this permitted use to existing locations. So there's language on the top of page 5 about existing mobile home parks. Shall not be permitted to expand the boundaries of the park area that are existing at the time of adoption of this amendment, and any and all replacement dwellings within the existing park and any construction shall be in full compliance with FEMA rules. So that was added.
It's my recollection that we moved this from a conditional permitted use to a principal permitted use. We recommended that happen.
Now we're. You're talking about what now?
That clause, number 3.
3. That's a permitted.
It's now a permitted.
It's permitted principal use.
Yeah, it was a conditional use.
It was taken out. It's being added as principal use. It had been taken out of the MXD zone. Now it's being added in as principal use.
It was taken out altogether, and now we're putting it back in?
Putting it back in, yeah.
Why are we doing that?
Because it's an existing use.
Board recommended that
to
go in as a permitted principal use. Is that correct?
I think the board recommends. Well, the board tweaked the language. I think.
It was a
council decision to add it as a principal use.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's existing use.
I know it's existing rather than
grandfathering. Yeah.
But I remember a conversation last time with Mr. Francine and Ms. Dibble, where. It was in the previous ordinance as a conditional use. Didn't you make the argument that if it's not a permitted use, you need to come back make variances if you're.
No, it wasn't. Can I answer that question?
Sure.
Okay. It wasn't in as a conditional use. It was the sole use in the previous ordinance. In the new MXD, it wasn't included as a permitted use. So it was now a
non-permitted use.
Yeah.
It was a non-permitted use. Anything you need.
Anything.
It's a non-conforming use. And anytime you had to do something, you had to go before a board, regardless of how minor it was.
Right. Right. And so this just fixes that.
Yeah, by making it a permitted use, every time you do something, you're not looking for a use variance.
Right.
Because the theory is you're no longer expanding a non-permitted, a non-performing use.
And I think that was the one where we got the letter from the property adjacent to it saying he had no problem with that.
Also, we limited it to the area it is right now, correct?
Right. That's correct.
But you were representing, you're not going to be buying that property now. Last time you said you were. Has that changed? Am I right about that?
We don't know what'll happen at this point.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, keep going. The still on section A. The next thing was before was the hotels to allow the maximum permitted height. Right before it just said 4 stories, so now it says 4 stories and 47 feet. Okay. And
should we reference our section we've already established under, let's see, I think it's conditional uses, item K, setting floor area, hotels, that sort of stuff, or not, in terms of the standards of the hotel?
I don't know, it's a different area. I mean, it's different from the downtown area.
Right. But I think we were concerned when we were doing it downtown that one man's hotel is another man's rooming house. And that in establishing some standards having to do with kitchens, room sizes, and that sort of stuff, we sort of precluded it being a residential construction.
I guess it sort of makes sense if you want to put some limitations on it, or that would be.
We did that.
Really,
the absence of other standards.
Yes. Yeah.
Where are they?
That's what I'm just looking up under 21-96.02. Let me just make sure.
Establishes floor area per unit. There may be things that aren't consistent in terms of, although it says 50% of floor area, yeah, 50% of floor area.
Do you have the
on-site parking requirements, solid waste containers?
So anybody interpreting this ordinance or applying this ordinance, since Section 4 now allows those as a permitted use in that zone, obviously, the standards would have to be applied that Peter just discussed.
Probably the stops on the other one.
Yeah, well, anything you build in here, if it's, you're going to put a hotel there, we know the maximum height is 4 stories, 47 feet. Well, how does it have to be constructed? It has to be constructed in accordance with the standards for hotels.
Right.
Right. Okay.
And Marty's right. They may not all be 100% transferable because this particular condition is set for the B1 and B2 zone. As a matter of fact, that's what it says.
Right.
Yeah. So if you want that to apply to this,
that we should adopt some standards.
You want something to say, yeah. Either if you want that to apply to this zone, you should add B1, B2, but also the mixed use zone.
Because it may be as simple. I think Marty really has to review that.
It would have to be, yeah. Because
I mean, it's either that. Yeah. Either you want that set. If you want a different set, then you've got to outline them within this, because there's no other standards.
Right, there's no other standard.
So you're either, and that doesn't say to apply to the MHD zone, it says to apply to two specific zones.
The council,
12 conditions.
Yeah, the council could adopt it and then come back and set up some standards for that type of hotel, for that hotel in that zone.
Okay.
I mean, the board can recommend that the council adopt standards.
Do you want to recommend that the council develop standards?
Yes, I think we should.
Yeah, because you've got nothing to
develop a set of standards.
And I'm looking at these standards.
They don't work.
Are way out of line.
Right, they don't work for this use.
That you couldn't just put MXD zone.
That's what I said. Add that in as part of the other two zones or three zones that are there. If that works, I'm not saying that's what you should do, but if it works, it's that simple.
Yeah. Let's recommend that they set it.
Okay. Is that what you want?
Establish a set of standards.
Wants, though, that's just
my
standard.
I'll make a motion.
You want the standard set forth in whatever section to apply to this.
It's 21-97K is, those are conditional use standards, but they don't work the way they are right now.
Oh, so you don't want to put that in?
Don't put that in.
What do you want? That council establishes. To develop?
Council, yeah.
Is that finalized?
So the council should establish, should develop a set of standards for use in this zone. Okay. That'll be added right to number four.
Okay. And then the last one, section nine, had to do with it. Section nine is now out of the ordinance. That had to do with the conditional use to allow single family uses in the B1 and B2 zones and setting up single family detached. The planning board said it should be consistent with the overlay zone, but it really can't be, it really couldn't be reconciled. So it's been deleted. Okay. All right, and that's it, that's everything.
Okay. I think I have, there's four or five changes that were recommended.
Everybody understood the recommendations?
Where did we leave the issue of whether or not there's 2 acres to be had in the R1 or 3 zone?
I left that, that's the one that we had, unless. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was the condition, but.
No, but Marty isn't sure that the sum total of the property areas in the 103 district that is outlined in there would go up to 2 acres.
Right.
In which case, it would make that ordinance.
If it's impossible to comply with because there aren't that many acres in the zone, then the regulation should go out.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we just send that advice to the council?
Marty will just have to clean it up. Yeah, okay. There's no sense in drafting an ordinance for something that can't happen. So that just gets stricken. I don't think I have to put that into the regulation. We can just clean that up and send it back.
Anything else? Do we have any other questions? Motion on this?
I have a question on the on section 3, the existing mobile home parks as defined herein. That's the theoretically, if the current owner sold it to another entity who wanted to. Keep it a mobile home park or put all the mobile home parks in there. This, the word existing, what does the word existing do for us in there?
Under section
number 3, so the existing mobile home parks are now a principal permitted use. What does the word existing do for us?
Where does it say that?
No.
You're at three.
You're top of page 5, right?
Top of page 5. Underline, that's one of the things that's being added. What is the word existing? The sentence starts with existing.
Yeah, shouldn't it be mobile home parks as defined here?
It makes sense.
Or existing should be omitted?
It's there intentionally. Maybe it gives us.
No.
If
you're going to make a mobile home park a permitted use, you can't just make it for the existing mobile home park. It's either a mobile home park is a permitted use or it's not.
That was not the intent.
Yeah, well, that's kind of my point. I think our intent when we, at the last meeting, as I recall, was to make this a permitted use as an accommodation to the homeowners association down there who represented that they were going to be closing on the park and buying the park.
Leave the word existing in and see how it flies.
Yeah, but as I understand, there's been press releases.
and stuff that, that, that says now that that's not going to happen.
Right, right.
So,
so leave existing in there?
Well, if you leave existing in, then you've made it a permitted use until such time as it's no longer.
In all the MXD zone?
Well, if that's if that covers the MXD zone, yeah. That's what we'll do.
Okay. Yeah.
You just want to create a situation where
the current people have
then leave the word existing wherever it is.
Right, okay, but yeah, but yeah. That I agree with the intent of that, Mike. Just, I don't want if that park is no longer there. We put this in as accommodation to the people who live there, as I recall.
Yeah.
And if
that park ceases to exist,
if that park ceases to exist,
you amend your ordinance immediately.
What
immediately. You amend your ordinance and take it. And take that permitted use out.
Or why not just take it out now?
Because if you take it out now, that means that every time they want to do something there, they have to get a use variance before the zoning board.
But don't they have to do that? Don't they have to jump through hoops anyway with their... having to be in full compliance with FEMA and flood prevention, you know, practically speaking, FEMA requirements, I think if there's, if you're spending more than a certain percentage of the value of the property?
No. Well, you're cutting out one layer of bureaucracy. They still have to comply with FEMA regardless of what you put in there or not, correct? That's the law.
Everyone has to.
Right. So, right. They still have to do that whether a permitted use or a non-permitted use. So
I think one advantage is that in any case where somebody wanted to replace a trailer, something was more updated and more safe,
right,
you would be able to do that without a site plan.
Right, what the bottom, from what this will do by putting it in this way is that you avoid that every time they do anything having to go before the Board of Adjustment for a use variance.
Well, he's putting a trailer park down there in any way, shape, or form. This is not a permitted use right now. It hurting us with FEMA.
But no, I mean, it's there, it's existing.
I know, but it's not
hurting. Yeah. Yeah.
Or adding it back in as a use.
Oh,
is
by
that
adding
any
it back
way, shape,
in?
Or form hurting us with FEMA?
No.
See the
it doesn't make a difference, really.
What I'm not getting your point. It's not a matter of do they have to do this anyway? No. They have to do a lot.
Right.
But we're omitting the step of having to spend the money and the time and the effort to go before the zoning board of adjustment for to prove hardship and all of that.
Yeah.
And all that time and expense for just something, let's say I don't know what it is. Maybe they want to add a little side and deck, they have to go to zoning board now for use variance. They got to pay the app fees and all the rest. And that's why the board put that in there so that they wouldn't have to jump through that hurdle or jump over that hurdle.
It's also a financing hurdle.
Hmm. Right, and it's also a financing hurdle that anytime they sell, they cannot get a lot of the lenders, I guess, requiring zoning certificate that says it's a permitted use, and they can't get that because it's not, and they can't sell or whatever. So that was the rationale behind the board's move
at the time, mm-hmm, with the representation that the community was going to be closing on that property soon. Which
I don't think that board. I can't quote, but I don't remember the board.
The conversation that we had at our last meeting.
No, but I don't think that was the rationale that the board used for the recommendation. You'd have to check the record.
Mr. Bowman can't upgrade homes either. So it's not just the homeowners that are limited by this. It's also the property owner.
Understood.
Yeah, you'd have to check the record as to what the board's rationale was behind the recommending it. But I don't recall the board using the fact that they were going to be purchasing. I could be wrong. You have to listen to the tape.
I remember that because I mean being surprised that that was recommended being back in there. It was my vote was based on that rationale.
Okay.
But I understand things have changed.
No. I'm just laying it out to you. I don't get the good, bad, or indifferent. That's not my job. I just put it out to you. You folks decide.
So the detriment of leaving things the way they are rather than adding this in is the inconvenience of Mr. Ballman or any of the mobile homeowners down there wanting to put a new trailer in or upgrade the trailer, they'd have to get a variance to do that if we don't add this.
Yeah, basically. Because the trailer is a non-conforming uses, you're allowed to rebuild a non-conforming structure as long as it's not completely destroyed. But if you take out, it's not like a house. I mean, it's in a sense that it's stick-built, it's got the foundation, you can rip it down. In the case of manufactured housing, you can just take it out of there and put a new one in. Theoretically, once you take that off there, you might lose your non-conforming use status.
That's the way it's been perceived.
That's a real danger. It's not like a stick-built house. You're clearly tearing it. You know, if something burns, you have some left. Once you pull out one mobile home and put in another one, you've essentially taken the whole thing out.
Right.
And then somebody could argue you're not allowed to rebuild. Right. And if somebody wants to put a small deck on the back, they have to get a use variance. If you allow it to be a permitted use and they comply with setbacks and the like, then it's construction official. Issues a permit to build. If, of course, they violate side yards or rear yards or front yards or what have you, then it's a matter of the building's zoning board for both. So I mean, those are the ramifications. And again, if they go sell and they got a lender who says, "What's the story with the zoning?" and they say, "Well, we're not valid non-conforming use," and the lender won't loan. That's a pressure. So that's all I'm going to.
Yeah, I favor taking it back out.
I favor leaving it.
Well, you want to take a vote on it?
The board's pleasure. Why don't we do one with our motion?
Actually, we covered the same ground last time, and I believe it was brought to our attention that Mr. Bowman wrote a letter suggesting that it be put into the ordinance. And his board took that as being a reasonable
representation. That was the first I heard of that letter when you brought that up, and I think when he said that he didn't say that he favored putting it in, I think he said he didn't oppose it.
Okay. Why don't we do this? Since you were the first one to bring it up, why don't we see if we get a motion?
I'll move, see if I can get a second.
To omit it?
Yes.
Okay. Any seconds?
Anybody second it?
Motion fails for a second.
Okay.
Peter, your turn. You're going to have a motion to keep it in.
It's in?
Yeah, I know. What's it is? But do you want to go any further than that?
Yes.
Good. All right. I'm just trying to referee.
Are we done now?
Yes, yeah. And in terms of just sort of wrapping up, in terms of the board's tasks by the consistency with the master plan, I'm just double checking here, but I believe the parts that are inconsistent with the master plan are the changes to the MXD zone in terms of allowing them to go into the R1.03 and the WC2. Those were not, those, you know, that
Mark,
would be inconsistent.
Could you review that and send me an email on it to make sure? Because then I'm going to retype this. I'm not going to leave this with my chicken scratch. That's what I did the
last
time.
Yeah, but I'm just double checking. I looked at it beforehand, before the meeting, but that's, yeah, I just want to make sure.
Right, I mean, just send me an email and I'll make sure that when I do the resolution.
Yeah, so those are the only two things. Yeah, otherwise, you know, I think the board, you know, might find that it advances, you know. You know, it's consistent with the master plan because it does a lot of changes to the downtown, the uses, and these were recommendations. A lot of them start as from the HPP. So,
okay,
all right.
Motion.
Does it make a motion? Anybody have any objections? Great. Who wants it? Yeah, have a motion here.
I'll offer it.
Second.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mullen?
Unlike the previous ordinance, I think that the inconsistencies with our master plan are one of adjustment of lot zone boundaries. You know, their adjacent uses similar. Exposures, both the R103 and the WC zone. So I'm in favor.
Schoner?
Yes.
Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
No.
Mr. Colby?
Yes.
Carries.
This is to change the language?
Well, that's the resolution with the changes that I made.
Correct. Changes.
Changes that were given to me.
Okay, done deal, huh?
We still have whatever's left on your agenda.
Minutes.
Yep. Minutes. Approval of minutes for March 8th, 2012.
Mrs. Cummins requested that they be tabled to the May 10th meeting.
I'm sorry. We can't accept that.
So let's get the tech right.
So then you're table.
Table.
Yes.
Okay. We're
at the bottom of that one, do we?
Get the vote on the minutes?
Sure.
I'll offer it.
Second
by...
I'll second moving in the May 10th.
Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Schulner?
Yes.
Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Mayor Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
And Mr. Colby? Yes. Mr. Colby?
The minutes on the clock. Okay.
Next are communications and vouchers. I don't know, Mr. Schulner, communications and vouchers, any?
None.
Okay, and then the next would be adjournment.
Adjournment.
I'll offer.
Second. All in favor?
Second by.
Aye.
Mr. Gallagher.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Good job.